of Exodus, and you see the escape prepared by God for Israel. It was not easy, and they had difficulties for 10 times, but then it was a great escape. And then you can say how great they are. Marvelous.
Number 38.
All right. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. That's very good. And that's wonderful. And we will cut a little bit the singing part today, and we're going through the Word of God, so we may end up a little earlier, so we have time for those who come to go to the visual service for joy. Number 38, joyful, joyful, we adore. Make for the $1,000 that we give her, and I just called Brother Cassandra, and we made it. It's just fantastic that the Lord responded, and we had to pray for Shelley as she planned to sing classical Christian songs and pray, and all these dead churches of the Orthodox world, they're going to revive these songs again. They do it as a protocol, but you never know. When you use words of God, you never know what impact will do. I may ask a request. We're going to sing number 39 as a closing in a minute, but let me, number 39 as a closing, but stay there, lady. All right. Brother Ralph, how was it at Pacific Hill today?
Well, that was good. Wayne speaking.
Wow, that was good. That is very good. And love those people. Brother Malone reminded me that he came to this church 14 years ago. And Brother Malone came to this church because there was no church in the area to take the ministry of Pacific Hill. Nobody wanted to come and do the service. And so I went, and the pastor that was there was 83 years old, and he came all the way from Sacramento to do it. And he was so happy that we took it. And so the Malones came to this church, and the Tostes, as a result that we took the care. And for the first year, Raquel and I were there every Sunday right after church. And it was a great time. Those people are gone now, those people that we visit with. But it was a great and wonderful time that I have preaching the gospel with them. And now our church is a training ground for our people to go. Our brother Greg is now taking the second Sunday on that place. And our brother Wayne and our brother Plika on the last Sunday. And our brother Lee Prater. And I do still doing the fifth Sunday with these people. I like to sing in reference to what we're going to learn tonight about in the agenda of God, day number 4. Sing the song 39, This is my Father's world. But when you see God's agenda, and we are just studying at the part of Revelation that teaches the overall picture, when you see God's agenda, you can't help it but to understand that this is God's world. It's not the world of Hitler or the world of Mussolini or my time or the world of President Bush or anybody's. It's God's world. And he manages this world in a very special way. Let's think all the stanzas of number 39. Opportunity to sing praises to our God. And in the evening service, as I said in the opening, we study the book of Revelation, and we are working through the book of Revelation almost verse by verse in certain sections so that we can know exactly what God said and be no confused. So let's pray together. Father, your word is so important to us. And the understanding of your word and believing of your word is part of our life. And so, Father, we pray again for wisdom from above so that we may know your will and we may know what you have to say to us, so that we may strengthen our life with your wisdom, so we will never be afraid of what people said or do or what government said. We will never be confused about this world because we have the agenda from heaven and what's going to take place. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, that it's so lovely and so wonderful that you lay this out for us. Bless us as we study your word. In Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 is the opening, as we put here on the screen on my left and the projector as we look into the book of Revelation. And the Bible says, and I'm having a New King James Bible in my hand, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. The revelation of Jesus Christ cannot be difficult and cannot be confusing. The revelation of Jesus Christ. When Jesus came the first time, we had the revelation of Jesus in the person of Jesus. But now we have a second revelation of Jesus, and that is the glorious Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. So Revelation is about the story of the resurrection Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. We have a synopsis on the book of Revelation, an overall picture that we look in chapter 1, is the full revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything you want to know of the state of the resurrected Christ is in chapter 1, well explained. Then chapter 2 and chapter 3 is the revelation of Jesus' church. And remember, how many churches are there in these two chapters? Seven churches. And is some people teaches that as a process of the church. I believe that in every century, we have the characteristics of those seven churches affecting our life. And finally, chapter 4 to 19 is the revelation of God's agenda. Now, we've been working in God's agenda. In chapter 6, where we're going to be today, we have verses 1 and 2, page number 1 in God's agenda. And as you remember, page number 1 is the victorious proclamation of the gospel. It's this white horse who is conquering to conquering, who is victorious, who doesn't stop anything and will not stop anything until the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's agenda. That will circulate from day one all the way through. Then we have chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, page number 2 in God's agenda. And I call that the development of an anti-Christian, anti-Christ group. In other words, together with a victorious proclamation of the gospel is a satanic proclamation of an anti-Christ reaction. From day one, from the day of the resurrection, Christ's victorious gospel is on the market and Satan is on the market. It's amazing. He's not sleeping. He is not dead. Remember 1 Peter 5:8? Who remember that? 1 Peter 5:8. Do you remember that, Candace? Heard Peter 5:8? See, I don't have Anthony here, so I have to pick on you. 1 Peter 5:8 said, for Satan is like a roaring lion, looking forward to whom he may devour, destroy. You get in the way of Satan, and of course, he cannot destroy the Christian, but if you let it, will destroy your marriage, will destroy your children, will destroy your work, will destroy everything. If you just give a foot to Satan. And so we need to be aware. And all by the authority of God. That's what is good in one sense, because it's not that Satan is not under control. He's under control. God controls him. And you and I will never be tempted by God through Satan. Is that right? James chapter 1 said that God cannot be tempted with evil, so he tempted with evil no man. So it's when we let Satan come into our life, you let pornography come into your screen on the computer, and you're going to be hooked into Satan's hands. I saw some people on the machines gambling. It's only 5 cents. It's only 10 cents. And Camille Mounds was with us. And she said, well, they can give us $5 free, the thing. And then you can play, Pastor. Say, my father said, whatever penny comes into your hand is because you work it. And so even if I win, I will return the money. Because I will don't want a penny that I have no work for. And so, therefore, Satan is so sneaky. You need to have two guns. Remember the cowboys movies? You know, you need to be like, what is the guy in Carmel? Clint Eastwood, you know, all the time. You need to be like him, you know, because Satan is right there. He's giving you ideas. It's not that he's coming in red and all this. No, he's coming sweet and he's giving you ideas how to deviate slowly from God's plan. Very important. So it's in the marketplace. Day number 3, Revelation 6, verse 5 and 6, God's agenda, the progressive revelation of an imperfect world. Remember, there will be a controlled market. Food will be controlled by people. Now, we draw from Morning Hill all the way to the city of Las Vegas. And it's 509 miles and one-tenth. Exactly, my computer. And I tell you, after you leave Highway 99 and get 58 and cross into 15, there is desert. And there are cactus. And you know, cactus is beautiful to eat. I don't know if you eat cactus. It's gorgeous. The fruit inside, the juice inside the cactus is cold, even though outside is 110 degrees. Try to figure out that. And the food market, and people say, oh, there is no food. Next time somebody calls for food, they say, oh, get your car, go to the desert and start cutting the cactus. Watch out for the rattlesnakes around. But I tell you, it's just beautiful. God has created the world so that we all have enough to eat. But remember Revelation chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, there will be controlling of the food market and the controlling of the economy. And this is showing to you and to me that there is an imperfect world. As much as the buildings that we saw and the progress that you see in these United States of America, this is an imperfect world because the heart of man is contaminated with greed. They want more and they want more. All right, now we got to a new era, Revelation chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. And I'm going to read it for you. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him that sat on it was Death, and Hades follow with him. And power was given, again, God's permission, to them over the four of the earth to kill with sore, with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth. That's verse 8. Verse 7 is like the other verses, who said, I opened the fourth seal, and I heard a voice of the four living creatures saying, come and see. God is not hiding things. He said, come and see. All right, what the scripture said here, you saw it in the screen. there is a pail. And you know the word Clorox? That comes from the word pale in Greek. And I put the word right there on the screen on Greek. Okay, chloral, you pronounce it. And it's just the color of Clorox, just the same color. And Clorox in English took that word for the color. And it's the color of the decomposition of a corpse. That's the color of the horse. That gives you an idea, no? Of what really is. And so that's what the scripture said. There's a horse in that way that come into the scenery of the world. And his color tell you what he's after. It's just plain death. And also, there is given authority. You know this in verse 8, the Bible said, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him, and power was given to them. No power as a dynamite, but the word over there in Greek is authorotia, which we get the word authority. And authority was given to this horse. There is given authority to bring death to 20%, 25% of the world's population. Look at here. He that followed him, and power or authority was given to them over the four of the earth. 25% of the earth will be eliminated. Not the whole earth, all right? The word thanatos and the word necros are very important in the Bible. And put one hand here just to show you the difference of two words. And go with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, where the word necros is used. For death. The Bible said in Ephesians 2:1, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now, it doesn't mean you are dead physically, is that right? Because you are alive. You were alive who are dead. That means necros. Necros has to be with our spiritual life. Each time where the word negro comes from. Necros. Negro means black. We were dead spiritually, and God made us alive. Now, here, the word is in Revelation, is the word thanatos. And in verse 8, the Bible said, and power was given to them of the 25% of the earth to kill with the sword. And the name of that horse was Death, which is thanatos. Thanatos. Different death. I mean, physical death. Physical death. And so, this is what the scripture said. Here is the fourth day. On the fourth day, God is having a horse that has the color of death, who is producing death, who is going to kill 25% of the world population physically. All right? Now, what does the scripture mean? And we have to look into that. Verse 8, physically dead is universal. Let's go to Romans 6:23. And this is a proof that physical death is universal. For the wages of sin is death, thanatos. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Death is universal. We cannot avoid it. There is no way that you can avoid death unless the Lord come and takes you alive, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. And so death is universal. Then verse 8 also said that catastrophes are universal. And about 25% of the world will be completely dead. Let's go to Matthew 24 to see the catastrophes are also universal. In Matthew chapter 24, I'm going to read from verse 4 to 14 to give you an idea of how this world is going to be running. In Matthew 24, verse 4, and Jesus answered, they were asking questions to Jesus. In verse 3, the Bible says the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when all these things be and what will be the sign of your coming. In other words, how the world will end. And so Jesus tell us that there will be catastrophes in the world. Look at verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Then verse 6, and you will hear wars and rumor of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And then they will deliver you up to tribulations and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will raise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness, means the breaking of the law, will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. In other words, day number one, remember in the agenda, the gospel is going to come in and circulate, will be all gone. And so the second thing the scripture is teaching us in this 25% of death is that in every century, you will have catastrophes and you will have these massive death like we have in Africa or in the Asia and so on. We always will have this. This is God's plan. It's hard to explain to people that this is God's plan, but in every century, God is showing that this world is not safe. People put their roots in this world and is not safe. Then thirdly, verse 8 tell us hell is universal. Look at verse 8. He said, so I look, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death and Hades. Hades is another name for hell. Now, hell is universal. And here is an amount of theology saying that hell is a theoretical word, the hell is in a state of mind. And hell is this. Well, I'm going to help you with two scriptures. Let's go to Matthew 11 to see how we can see hell in this way. Matthew 11:23. Look at what the Bible says. Matthew 11:23. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were down in you has been done in Sodom, it will have remained until today. In other words, Capernaum was bad, and God will brought down Capernaum to a place. What is the place? Hades, hell. Let's go to chapter 16, now of Matthew and verse 18. Chapter 16 and verse 18. And the Bible said, "And I also say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, hell again, shall not prevail." So it is a place. It has gates on it. Who are they who live there? The unbelievers. The unbelievers are already placed. Their spirit is already locked by Satan. And as you remember, Jesus said that he comes and steals from the strong man. In other words, he comes, invade Satan territory, and he takes you and I, we're in hell, locked into, and nobody can get you out except Jesus. And he comes in and brings you out. And so God is saying to us very, very clearly here on this day number 4 that don't panic about the catastrophes that you see in the world, because this is also God's plan. Will never the whole world disappear? Not too long ago, they said, well, if something come from the sky and hit the earth will disappear. That is true, but will never happen. Why? Because God only planned to kill 25% of the earth at any time. Will never destroy the earth until the last day. Will never do anything. 25% of the earth will come to an end. That's true. But never, never the whole earth will come to an end. That is God's plan. Now, what is the message? Only 25% of the earth is destroyed in every century. So, the whole point is that he brings not meaningless destruction, but the destruction which serves the purpose of the justice of God. In other words, it's not a meaningless destruction, but it's saying, I'm in control, and in spite of what Satan can do, and in spite of what Satan will bring to you, and in spite of what Satan talks about it, God is in control, and at a given moment, he destroys something, usually places of pleasure, like the places in Asia and so on. He brings to an end, and God keeps on circulating. He is in control. God is producing no meaningless death, but is producing a death that is absolutely the justice of God. People who will never think on God. Now, page number 4 in God's agenda. It is the hour of the sovereign of the world. It is the hour of the sovereign of the world. In other words, God is saying, Christians, do not panic. You lost your job, you lost this, or you lost the other. Do not panic. God is in control of the world. A dictator came to a country in 1946. A dictator came into my country, General Perón. And not for too long, 8 years later, he was overthrown by a worse government than the dictator. But in other words, nothing is forever in this earth. God is in control, and you can see that God allows certain things to happen to people. I don't know what could happen to America in the way we go, not in the way of economics, not in the way of military power, but in the way of a spiritual power. We are zero in a spiritual power in America, and still ahead of other countries. So the world, the entire world, is coming to a denial of God, absolutely. You just listen in television to the talk show. I listened to Larry King many times, and they run something last week, an interview with Billy Graham, and he asks Billy Graham, "You believe in God, don't you?" Like Billy Graham is a stupid, because he believes in God, and Billy Graham, you know, is a very, to me, is one of the most man use of God. He told him, he said, "Well, you are a Jew. And if you do not believe in God, you deny yourself," he said. And I don't know, I believe about you. He said, well, I believe the Bible teaches about this God. And very carefully, he lay out the plan of hell and salvation. It is a gift from the heart of this great man of God. And I tell you, they ask him questions. Why then things happen in the world? Why people die? Why people this? You know, the unbelievers, they wonder why these things happen. We, the believer, know why they happen. They're God's plan. They're God's plan. So what we learn tonight is this. Let us not panic. And let us, is it 1 Corinthians 4:2 or 2 Corinthians? Let's go. Help me, Greg. 1 Corinthians, I think it's 4:2, where God said that we should be faithful. This is what is required. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 4 in verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards, means administrators, and you are the administrator of the gospel, that one be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2. And that's what God requires. Now, around us, if you read the newspaper, or if you watch the news, I receive on my computer the Wall Street Journal's latest news, the London Press latest news, the BBC latest news, and I just glance to them, and everything is panic, and everything is bad. And I say, well, we are in God's territory. So no one of us had any hope. And your money and your job security, no one of us has job security. And there is no hope in this world, but God's in control. That is the Bureau. He's sovereign. And you and I worship God. I want to repeat the words of Billy Graham to Larry. He said, Larry, you're talking about a God. Do you believe a God? He said, we Christians believe in a personal God. He said, to know, he said, God is one thing. But to know that God knows you, and that you have God. I said, Larry, that's magnificent. And you know what Larry said? He said, oh, here's a great man. He don't argue. He said, here's a great man. Boy, believe in that. That's a great man. No, listen, you are the great man, and you, I am the great man, because God has given us that gift. That we believe that there is a God that relates to us. We pray to him. We talk to him. We claim to him. We glorify him. It's not fantastic. Revelation so far is telling us, God is saying, things are happening. Don't panic. I'm your God. You know, that's enough for me. That's enough for you. And I'm going to remain faithful to the very end. That's my prayer. And when Greg one day be pastor of the church, he needs to set a goal in his life. I set my goal in 1 Corinthians 4:2. I focus. I don't care if there are 20 people here or 2,000 people. I have a responsibility to be faithful to God and his word and my walk of life and my service. Whatever happened around me is God's business. And God is doing this in a marvelous way. That's why we Christians buy houses and buy cars and so on, where we don't have to overdo it. Because if you overdo it, that takes you the joy of living for God. All right? And it is, and people worry about the market. Don't worry about the market. I started working the other day, was May 25th, I remember, in a church. And I told my wife, 40 years ago, I came to this country. And May 25th, 1965, I found my first job. And I never stopped working one day until today. I thank God for his provision. I found my job without English, only French and Italian, and an engineering company that was working with Italian and French people in the Navy of the United States. So it's just so beautiful how God takes you by the hand and puts you into. May God give us a strength and vision to us that whatever happened today will not take away the joy of the Lord. What is your strength? Because he is coming again. Thank you, Father. The believing in Jesus is our responsibility. Thank you, Father, that believing that he's in control, believing that the Father knows what he's doing, and knowing through the scripture, the things that happen today are no surprise to you because they are your plan. We are thankful that we know you personally. Thank you, Father, and help us to be under control. And above all, help us to be faithful. In Jesus we pray and thank you. Amen. Amen.